Iris did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Northeast as you listen. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, NHS workforce planning has disconnected people who want to become nurses from the training places and hospital wards that desperately need them. Health budgets are treated as household expenses, while qualified staff shortages force trusts to pay agency premiums that dwarf the cost of training programs.
I grew up in Wallsend watching my gran fight cancer. The nurses at North Tyneside General were extraordinary, not just their technical skill, but the way they held her hand when the pain got bad, how they explained each procedure so she wasn't frightened. My dad welded chips and my mum served school dinners, but I knew from the age of 16 that I wanted to be the person who could make someone's worst day a bit more bearable. I finished my A-levels at Burnside Business and Enterprise College and worked weekends at Wallsend Care Centre, learning how to help people maintain their dignity when their bodies were failing them. In 2019, I applied to Northumbria University's nursing degree and was accepted. Then the admissions tutor called me in for a meeting. "I have to tell you," she said, "the NHS bursary has been scrapped. You'll need to take out about £50,000 in student loans." £50,000. My dad's annual wage. I asked if there were any funded places left, any way around the debt. She shook her head. "I'm sorry, Iris. The government says there's no money for bursaries anymore." I deferred and spent 2 years working full-time at the care centre and saving every penny I could. Lived with my parents, cycled to work, packed sandwiches, put aside £200 a month. By 2021, I had enough for the first year and reapplied. This time, Northumbria told me to contact Health Education England North East directly about funded training places. The woman on the phone was apologetic but clear. "We've had to right-size our training allocations due to Treasury spending constraints. There is no funding available for additional nursing places this year. I found work as a healthcare assistant at North Tyneside General Hospital instead. 12-hour shifts, basic pay, but I was finally working in the NHS. The permanent nurses were brilliant teachers, but they were exhausted. Half the ward was staffed by agency nurses who earned double what the permanent staff made and disappeared after a few weeks, never learning the rhythms of the ward or forming relationships with long-term patients. The irony wasn't lost on me. The hospital was spending a fortune on temporary staff because they couldn't recruit qualified nurses, while I stood right there wanting to train for exactly that role. In 2022, I heard about accelerated nursing programs for healthcare assistants. Perfect, I thought. I applied through NHS England's website. The response came back within a week. Budget allocation for accelerated training has been frozen pending comprehensive spending review. When I called to ask what that meant, the administrator said, "Basically, the budget has been cut. We cannot afford to run that program this year." I accepted it. Everyone accepted it. It sounded reasonable. Budgets get cut. Programs get cancelled. Money doesn't grow on trees. That's just how things work. Then one evening, after a particularly brutal shift, we'd been short-staffed again. Two agency nurses hadn't turned up. I walked past Northumbria's nursing school on my way to the bus stop. The simulation labs were lit up but empty. I pressed my face to the window and saw rows of unused training equipment. Patient mannequins, monitoring devices, IV stands, resuscitation dummies. Everything you'd need to train the next generation of nurses just sitting there gathering dust. I stood there for 10 minutes staring. The same week NHS England had told me there was no money to train healthcare assistants as nurses, here was a fully equipped training facility sitting empty, not broken, not outdated, just unused. The next day I asked one of the senior nurses about it. "Oh, the university's desperate to fill those places," she said. "They've got capacity for twice as many students as they're allowed to take. HEEE won't fund the places." That's when I started to wonder. If the people exist, and we do, there are healthcare assistants all over this hospital who'd love to qualify as nurses, and the training facilities exist, and the hospitals desperately need qualified staffers. What exactly is it that there is no money for? The government that prints the notes and mints the coins was telling us it couldn't find enough of them to connect eager healthcare workers to empty training seats to understaffed wards. I work in the NHS. I see the waste every day. Agency nurses earning £60 an hour to do the job that a permanent nurse earning £15 an hour could do if we just trained them properly. I see patients waiting longer because we don't have enough qualified staff. I see brilliant healthcare assistants leaving the profession because they can't afford to train without bursaries and can't get funded places. The government that issues the pound told me it could not find enough pounds to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. But it could find the pounds to pay agency fees that cost 3 times what training would have cost. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It's the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the people and places that needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still working as a healthcare assistant while qualified positions go unfilled around me. But I understand now that what happened wasn't bad luck or unfortunate timing. It was a series of political choices made by people who had alternatives. Every time someone in Westminster said the cupboard was bare, they were choosing not to fill it. Every time HM Treasury said there was no money for training, they were choosing not to create it. Every time NHS England said the budget was frozen, they were choosing not to thaw it. This isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist, side by side, while someone with the power to issue currency says the vault is empty. The vault is never empty. The question is whether those with the key choose to open it.
What Iris experienced has a name: fake experts. The tobacco industry spent decades finding scientists willing to say cigarettes were harmless, despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary. By selecting only those researchers who supported their position and ignoring the thousands who didn't, they manufactured the appearance of scientific uncertainty where none existed. The same technique operates in Iris's story. When Treasury officials and NHS administrators cited economists who said public spending must be rationed like household income, they were selecting only those voices that supported their predetermined position. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. Every time someone said there is no money for training, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Newcastle upon Tyne, East and Wallsend, those resources were sitting idle. The training facilities existed, the healthcare assistants existed, the hospital wards that needed qualified nurses existed, the resources existed, the people existed, the decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Newcastle upon Tyne, East and Wallsend ranks 81 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025. The constituency has 1,221 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £44.9 million, according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.